The Secret's oat for nourishing your sensitive skin. Start each day with Aveeno's Daily Moisturizing Body Wash to gently cleanse and help preserve your skin's moisture barrier. Then slather on the Daily Moisturizing Body Lotion for 24 hours of clinically proven hydration. This powerful combo gives you 2 times the moisture in 2 easy steps, thanks to both nourishing oat formulas. Get softer, smoother skin and shop Aveeno now at Target.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Brayton Wilson here, filling in for Andrew and Craig today on The Instigators. They're off for the Memorial Day weekend. We're all off on Monday from live and local programming. We'll all be back on Tuesday. Hope everybody does have a pleasurable weekend. That's not today. Don't count today as the weekend just yet, because today's weather is not great out there. But anyway, we're going to head out to the Western Hotline right now. We're going to bring in a good friend of the program, David Pagnotta. He's from thefourthperiod.com, and he's pretty well connected around the NHL, and he joins us here on WGR. David, it's great to talk to you again. How are you doing there, good sir?
I'm good. I was fortunate enough to catch that overtime game between Montreal and Toronto yesterday. So I'm in playoff mode, and half playoff mode, half off-season mode.
Yeah, the playoffs this year have been quite competitive. I know that the whole structure of the league this year with the divisions was totally different from years past, but what are your early thoughts going through these playoffs here from the start, you know, a couple weeks back to now, where, you know, we're going to have our first game 7 tonight, and there's a good series brewing between Montreal and Toronto. What are your thoughts overall and how the playoffs have gone so far?
They've been exciting, and I think the fan element has played a big factor and contributor as to how exciting some of these games have really gotten. To see the atmosphere in some of these buildings has been tremendous. Different where I am, because no fans in Toronto, but there will be 2,500 fans in Montreal tomorrow night for Game 6, which I'm excited about. So that'll be the first actual game in Canada since March 2020. That there have been fans in the building, so that'll be fun.
Yeah.
But the atmosphere everywhere else has been the X factor for me in these playoffs. You know, with the Islanders at the Coliseum, with what we saw yesterday in Nashville, even though Carolina came back to win, everything has been just bumping, and it's bringing things back to a sense of normalcy, which is awesome.
David Pagnotta from thefourthperiod.com joining us here on the West Hur Hotline. As the offseason has officially begun for the Sabres now, David, and there is just so many unanswered questions going forward with this team. But the one question that I did ask you back in April, we talked early April just before Easter, and I had asked you, what are your thoughts on Jack Eichel's chances of being with the Sabres come next season? And I remember you said 50-50 at the very moment that we had talked. But now we've gotten the chance to hear from Eichel since his season-ending injury with the herniated disc and his disconnect with the team. And then Kevin Adams' comments where, you know, he wants to move forward with the players that want to be here. If you had to look back from then till now, are you changing your odds at all of Jack Eichel's chances of being here, or do you think that, you know, the chances of him moving on are greater than before?
I think they're greater. I'm not sure how much greater to this point. I think things will pick up, you know, starting probably, you know, close to a month from now, when we get closer to the final, the Stanley Cup final. You know, we'll be a few weeks away from the draft, the expansion draft. Things will really start to pick up. A lot of teams that I'm talking to are trying to do all their internal stuff and get that out of the way now for both the expansion draft and the actual NHL draft. And then by the second half of June, start to really engage in conversations with other teams. That's not to say they won't beforehand, but they'll emphasize that and pick that up in the second half of June. And I think that's when a lot of conversations surrounding Jack Eichel, not just him, but some of the other Sabres as well, will really pick up. Because we know there's interest in Jack. There's no question about that. You know, everything that's gone back and forth between his side and the Sabres side with respect to, you know, his ailment and trying to remedy it and fix it. I mean, it's a risky surgery in a sense that there just hasn't been any precedent in team sport leagues before. Like, other than a few UFC guys, this hasn't been something that's come across in any of the major leagues. So I understand that the hesitancy and concern from the Sabres side. You know, obviously Eichel's side thinks that's been a good path to go, but they're just not aligning. And I wonder if this is also an attempt to push a little bit further to really emphasize Kevin Adams' attempt to try to make a move here. Almost not necessarily force him, because the Sabres still, you know, kind of control the situation. But, you know, if Eichel's camp remains adamant that they want to go in that direction, then to me, it's a pretty big sign that there's just the lack of trust from the organization, coupled with him probably preferring to move out, even though, according to Adams, he hasn't officially asked for a trade.
Do you think that whatever the Sabres do this offseason, it all hinges on what they'd elect to do with Jack Eichel? Like, if they, you know, with their offseason plans, does it start with a decision on Jack Eichel, or do you believe that a Jack Eichel decision can kind of be pushed down the road while other moves are happening with the organization?
Yeah, I don't think it's priority number one. I think it's tough to categorize and list what's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think they're all kind of jumbled together because I think they want to figure out what to do with Seattle and how to go about this. Can they find a way to free up money? Now, the Kraken aren't going to take on Jeff Skinner's deal, but I'm very curious to see if they try to finagle something with Seattle with respect to Kyle Okposo's deal and his money. If they can figure something out there, then it gives them a lot more flexibility throughout this offseason, not just navigating through trade, but trying to piece a team together for next season and on. It gives them more money and more flexibility from a trade market perspective and a free agency market perspective. Then there's Ristolainen with 1 year left on his deal. There's Sam Reinhart, who's an RSA. Both of those guys made it clear that they don't want to go through another rebuild process. So all of this kind of jumbled together as part of what the priority is for the Sabres moving forward. If they find the right opportunity to perhaps trade Sam Reinhart ahead of figuring out the expansion draft or figuring out a deal for Eichel, for example, then I think they go in that direction. Whatever kind of comes first, I don't think there's a priority in terms of what has to happen, but I think all of these four guys or the three guys in the one area with the expansion draft, I believe that those are all at the top of the list, and whatever domino falls first, well, that's the one that'll fall first.
David Pagnotta from the4thperiod.com joining us here on the Wester Hotline as the Sabres offseason continues to roll along here. We haven't really gotten to any certain point where things are going to start picking up, but, I mean, the draft lottery is coming up this Wednesday to see where the Sabres pick either 1, 2, or 3. All right, David, so I think this has been asked a couple of times with other people, but I'll ask you this question. Of the three, Eichel, Reinhart, and Ristolainen, do you expect all three to be gone? Do you expect one of the three to be gone, two of the three? How do you think the Sabres want to play this out, and how do you think things do play out with these players? You mentioned Reinhart and Ristolainen, they don't want to be part of another rebuild. Jack Eichel's obviously frustrated with the disconnect between him and the team, and also the losing that's been continuously going on. How do you see that playing out with three players who are arguably leaders on this team and have been leaders for the past several years?
Yeah, I think If I had to put a number on, I'd say at least one is gone. I want to throw Ristolainen at the top of that list in terms of, you know, for sure he's going to be out of here, but we've been saying that for years. So it's a tough one to project. He does have, because he's entering his final year, it might lead to a little bit more maneuverability in trying to deal him, because he just has the 1 year left on his contract. So it might be a little bit easier to try to move that, rather than, you know, when he had three years left, for example, at his 5-4 or whatever his cap hit is. I think the return for a Reinhart would be pretty significant. I believe, you know, especially after the season that he just had and the versatility that he brings playing the wing and the center position, I think there would be a pretty good return there. And I think that would be more aligned of the quote-unquote hockey trade, talent for talent kind of swap that might come in. Whereas a deal for, for Eichel, I think, would be a combination. I think you'd get at least one piece that's NHL-ready or NHL-proven. At this point, you're probably going to get another top prospect that's either on the cusp or maybe another year away. Maybe he gets a taste later on throughout next season, in the second half or something to that effect. And then, you know, some other pieces here, another pick, first-round pick, another prospect, that kind of thing. So I think the Eichel return would be a bit of a jumble in terms of an overall package. I think you move Reinhart. It's a hockey-type trade. You're swapping talent for talent. You're moving him out. You're going to get somebody to replace him in the lineup. And Ristolainen probably on the lower end in terms of what the overall return would be. But those are areas they got to figure out, and they also got to figure out goaltending as well. That's another big important one for them moving into next season is what do they do? Are they going to be able to get Ullmark signed? Is he going to test? We reported around the trade deadline that, yes, that was the plan. He wasn't going to sign a deal then, and he was looking towards free agency. He wants to test the market. Hasn't closed the door on the Sabres, but wants to see what his options are. So they got to figure out what that area is as well, and that might be actually up there in the priority list as well.
David, you mentioned the Seattle expansion draft and the potential of maybe the Sabres giving some incentive towards taking Kyle Okposo off their hands. He's got two more years left on his deal at $6 million. I necessarily wouldn't think they would be able to do that with a guy like Jeff Skinner, but is there anybody else potentially that they could try and do that with? Maybe even a Ristolainen type of player where they give him a little incentive to take that player, and what exactly would it take this time around given how some teams were burned so badly in the Vegas expansion draft with giving up some of the assets that they did so they could protect one asset or another. How has that mentality changed going into this time around with Seattle?
Yeah, I think some people have learned their lesson in terms of maybe giving up more futures than, you know, cusp on the verge type players, like guys that have maybe had a couple years under their belt and a change of scenery would propel them further. Marchessault, Riley Smith, I mean, Florida really got burned, but they weren't the only ones. Shea Theodore from Anaheim. So I think we're still going to see some of those types of moves, I would project, but maybe not to the amount that we saw in 2017 with Vegas. I think we're going to see more picks because of the uncertainty with this draft in terms – what I mean by uncertainty is just because they haven't – it's not a normal year, obviously, so the scouting's been a lot different. It might be, especially when we get into the later part of the second round and on, more of a crapshoot. You're going to take a chance on one guy that you got a good feeling with versus somebody that you've been following for the last 18 months and seeing that player play. So I think this might be an opportunity for Seattle to kind of stockpile their cupboard quite easily with those types of deals. But you're right. If it's not a Okposo, then maybe it is Ristolainen, a little bit less money, expiring contract. Maybe that works. But the other thing here, and the most interesting thing for me, with respect to this year's expansion draft, is because we've got the flat cap, there are other teams that are interested in helping out other clubs. So, you know, whether it's a Detroit or even LA, if there is a player on an expiring contract, with 1 year left on his deal, those teams might engage and say, okay, well, give me something else and I will take this guy for the next year or two or something to that effect. Teams that have the extra cap space. There are going to be some teams other than Seattle that are willing to make those types of deals. It's just what that overall sweetener is going to be is a little undetermined right now. A
couple more minutes with David Pagnotta from the fourthperiod.com here on the Western Hotline. Real quick, David, what's the latest that you're hearing on the Sabres coaching search? There was the reported that Rick Tocchet had talked with the Sabres perhaps yesterday about the opening and head coach. Mm-hmm. Don Granato is still a hot candidate to remain and have the interim tag taken off. What are you hearing about the Sabres and potentially who else could they be looking to talk to in this process?
Yeah, they spoke with Tocchet. I don't remember what day. I'm not sure if it was yesterday or the day before, but I believe it was scheduled this week. Bruce Boudreau is another guy that they've either had a conversation with or going to have a conversation with. This is something that I think the Sabres want to get done, I'd say, within the next month, because it's not just them, obviously. There's competition out there for teams that are looking to hire a new bench boss. You know, Tocchet's also been talking to the Rangers, and he's going to talk to Columbus, and there's going to be a few others that are there that are looking for deals. There's some speculation over the future of Dallas Eakins in Anaheim. What are the Ducks going to do from that side of things? We know Jeff Blashill has this new 3-year deal with Detroit. Travis Green's got his new 2-year extension with Vancouver. So some places have been solidified, but there are still others, vacancies that need to be figured out. And then, you know, what happens with Montreal? Ducharme is on a interim tag. Are they going to stick with him or, you know, look elsewhere? So I would imagine that over the next, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, the Sabres would like to solidify something, if not sooner. But I that's kind of the sense there. You know, there's been talk of a guy like Nate Lehman, who's, you know, in Providence, and he's been with the U.S. national junior team. He's overseas right now as an assistant with the World Championships. He's a guy that's getting some play as well and should get some conversations and interviews with some teams once he gets back. So there's going to be, you know, obviously some other candidates that are going to kind of be part of the mix. And Granato is still definitely, you know, a real contender. I think a lot of the people were impressed with what he did, at least brought a calming presence to that room and able to get that, you know, that stress and all that buildup off everybody's shoulders to say, look, trade deadline's done. We're past all of this. Let's get through and let's play some better hockey moving forward, more relaxed style. And I think the guy, it really resonated with the guys in the room. So he'll be part of the mix for sure. But I think the Sabres would like to kind of solidify something within the next few weeks here, you know, maybe 3, maybe 4, because they are going to have some competition that they already have that they got to deal with.
And last thing I'll ask you here, David, is about the draft class coming up. The NHL Central Scouting released their rankings yesterday. Owen Power is ranked number one amongst North American players. William Eklund is the top-ranked international player that's in their rankings. Just want to get your thoughts overall on the top of the class, who you like up there, and who might potentially be a good fit for the Sabres, let's say, if they do win the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the three guys out of Michigan, you know, kind of leading the charge here. And that's the thing with this draft is, you know, some areas, whether it was in college or whether it was some of the overseas, you know, the Quebec League to a certain extent, Ontario, there was nothing. So it's a lot trickier of a draft, but the guys that kind of lead the charge are the players that going into this draft were the guys that everybody thought were going to make some noise. And, you know, I think Power is still the guy that is kind of at the top of the list. Now, depending on where things fall and where the balls fall and all that stuff, you know, you want to be kind of in that top three if you're, you know, the Buffalo Sabres. So whether it's Power, you know, Luke Hughes, I know, is fourth among North American skaters, but he's going to be a really solid defenseman, really solid player in the National Hockey League, I believe. So that's another guy if you're looking from a defensive standpoint, excuse me. You know, Simon Edvidsson, defenseman, he's number two on the international ranks. There's another one. So if you're looking to solidify your decor even further, this is a good start, certainly to do that or to amplify your defensive core. So there's going to be options here, you know, for the Buffalo Sabres in terms of what direction they want to go in. And as I mentioned earlier, I think the expansion draft and, you know, the deals that are going to come into play here are going to play a big factor, not just for the Sabres, but other teams on how they're going to target the draft. You typically want to go with the best player available, but if you've solidified yourself with some real, you know, you're a team like LA, I'll use for example, their cupboard is full of top tier prospects up front. Defensively, they could use some upgrades. So wherever they're positioned, they may, you know, tilt to the side of a defenseman versus another forward. You know, we'll see. Maybe there's a deal there as well. We know that LA has been a team that's been hot for Jack Eichel. They've got a strong cupboard, as I mentioned. So a lot of these teams are going to look not just for, you know, this scenario, but other teams looking to make deals and say, all right, here's where I'm positioned. Here's where I'm drafting. Here's the options that are available to me. I can afford to move out, you know, player X if I can replenish that position from a prospect pool perspective. And from a Sabre side of things, if you're moving anybody out and bringing these younger players in, all right, well, let's try to load up front because we know we'll be in a position, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, to draft a really good defenseman that can go alongside a guy like, you know, Rasmus Dahlin and solidify the defensive core for, you know, the next 10, 15 years. So there's going to be a lot of options for the Sabres. I know it's been a tough situation and a tough year, tough couple of seasons with everything that's gone on. But, you know, if they do this right, there's the dominoes or the stars are kind of aligning for them to get through this in a positive way. It just, you know, you got to be able to MacGyver your way through the trade market and get the best return. And with this draft, and depending where they select, it could certainly escalate things in terms of getting this franchise back on track.
David Pagnotta from thefourthperiod.com joining us here in the Western Hotline. David, it's always great chatting with you. It's always great catching up and getting the latest on what's going on with the Sabres. Hope you enjoy your weekend, and hopefully we'll get the chance to talk again sometime soon, and maybe next year things will start to turn around here for the Sabres.
Yeah, that would definitely be good. Thanks for having me, and happy Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. David Pagnotta joining us here from thefourthperiod.com of the Western Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.